The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples went into Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was there in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What do you do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of our Lord.
Well, we heard in our epistle reading, knowledge puffs up, love builds up. So, man, I got Chuck Good this morning. He was leading into the library to do the forum between the services, and I said, "Okay, let's all go in and get puffed up." But in reality, that's not what he was trying to do, obviously, and that's not what, hopefully, what we're trying to do. As someone who considers himself a teacher, that whole idea, knowledge puffs up, man, that makes me uncomfortable. As I thought about it, though, I began to get an understanding of what Paul was talking about, in that when we get puffed up, that's when we think that our knowledge is what somebody else needs, that they need to be right where we are. Their journey needs to parallel exactly our own. And that's when we get puffed up and use knowledge in a hurtful way instead of a positive way. But first, let's step back and look at what the Bible is and why we study it, why we do try to have knowledge about the Bible. Personally, I love the Bible. Some people kind of resent it, you know. It's some mysterious law book that's on the shelf, and somebody who knows the law better than you can pull that book off and quote a scripture at you. And pull that scripture just out of anywhere in that book and put you in your place. And that person that's doing that is a little bit puffed up. The Bible itself, the point of it, isn't about putting somebody else down or putting someone in their place. And the reason I love the Bible is that when I read it, I get excited by some of the stuff I read. I argue with some of the stuff I read. Sometimes I read something and say, "Oh, Luke." You know, it's just interesting because you feel the more you read it, the more you learn, the more you know the authors. And as you know those human authors, you get more out of it. And you say, "Well, wait a minute, Eric. That Bible all came from God." Well, yes, it did, but think about Jesus, who we just celebrated at Christmas. Sometimes people, whether they say it or not, they act like Jesus is some kind of half-God, half-man freak. That's not what he was. Jesus was 100% a human being. 100%. That's what we're saying in those creeds. And it wasn't in spite of that humanness that Jesus was also 100% God. It was because of how he used that humanness. And that, my friends, is a challenge to us. To use our humanness to reveal the divine in this world to the best of our ability. And when we mess up, to try again. So the Bible, to say that the Bible has human authors is not to put it down. It's to take it off that shelf, and instead of using it as a law book to throw laws at other people and hurt them, it's about taking it off that shelf and being inspired by those authors to do the same thing they did. They looked for God in their context, from their understanding, in their time. And you and I are called to do the same thing in our time. And just as those authors reveal God, you and I are called to reveal God in the world around us. Sometimes more successfully than others, but we keep trying. And where we get the inspiration to keep trying is from those very human authors of the Bible. So, today we have Paul that we're talking about. Paul, he's a wonderful mixed bag, man. I can really have some great arguments with Paul. But on the other hand, my heart goes out to him because over the years I've come to understand what he was doing so much more. I used to be a regional vicar in this diocese. And when I started, I had 2 parishes. When I ended, I had 13. And so which meant I didn't get there every month. And Paul would get letters from these churches with their problems. I used to get phone calls. And here you are, at least with a letter, you had time to think. On a phone, you got to respond right away when people are calling you with a problem that's going on in a parish. So my heart really went out to Paul a lot more. What was going on in today's, he got a letter from the church in Corinth. And in those times that Paul lived in, it was a time when the rich were getting richer and richer, and the poor were getting poorer and poorer. Might sound familiar. The poor people got to eat basically a bowl of mashed up chickpeas once a day, if they were lucky. The rich, they could eat whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted. However, people were able to get meat from the temples, the pagan temples, because the meat that was sacrificed, it was basically the blood that they wanted for the gods, and then the meat would be cooked, and people could eat that meat. They'd give it away afterwards, and people could eat that meat. So this had led to a problem in the community in Corinth, the church community, because some of the people said, okay, you know, there is only one God, and these idols that this meat is being sacrificed to, they're fake anyway, so it doesn't matter. Let's eat that meat. It's a chance to have it. While others said, were coming from that background, and they said, they're offering this to a rival God to our God. So we need to not eat that because eating it would be honoring that rival God. And so it was basically the side that wrote to Paul was the side that was saying there is only one God, so let's eat the meat. And Paul is saying, okay, here's the thing. If to you it doesn't matter that if you have enough knowledge to know there is only one God, then it's not really sinning to eat that meat. But for those who don't have that understanding, then if they eat that meat, they are sinning. Isn't that fascinating? One person can do that one thing, and one person can do the same thing. One is sinning, and one is not. But then Paul goes on to say, if you know more, if you have the knowledge, if you let that knowledge puff you up, then you and you're eating that meat in front of somebody for whom it's wrong, and they go ahead and eat that meat because of your example, then you're leading them into sin. Even though for you it wasn't a sin. It's interesting. John Wesley, they're right next door. You can, if you doubt me, you can ask them. He taught that his definition of sin, and he was a good Anglican priest, and I think it was being inspired by this reading from Paul, He said to sin is to deliberately do what you know God doesn't want you to do. That's a challenge. But it's a challenge because the biggest part of the challenge, it seems to me, is that it's applied to you. It's not up to you to determine what your neighbor is doing is a sin or not. It's up to you to determine if what you're doing is a sin or not. And the more you know, your understanding might not be static. It may change over time. That doesn't mean the Bible changed. That doesn't mean God changed. It means you changed, that you grew in your own understanding. However, we also keep in mind the needs of those around us, although that can be a struggle, figuring out, do I need to challenge by my life to encourage someone to grow? Or do I need to be quiet for a while and let the Spirit move in them to grow? Or maybe I'm the one that needs to grow. I don't know. But we all are on our own journeys with God. And we all need to be open to learning from God what is the right thing to do and what's the wrong. And when we do that, when we learn more, if we're doing it to apply to ourselves and our own journeys, we're not getting puffed up. When we do it to show how much we know and put someone else in their own in their place, then we are. It's a fascinating thing. Our Quaker friends would tell us that inside each of us is the light that speaks to us. And that's what, you know, for us, the Holy Spirit is still active, still moving, still guiding us on this journey. If we listen, if we open our hearts, and how we decide what to do in the meantime as we're on this journey, a lot of it has to do with listening to your heart. Not listening to see if someone can tell you, if there's an argument going on and you're listening and one side's quoting the Bible and the other side's quoting the Bible and whoever gets the most quotes wins. I don't know. Sometimes your heart will just be telling you, this is wrong. I'm not doing it. And you need to listen to your heart. Because we talk about God as love. Look to your heart. Look to love as you decide what's right and wrong, what you need to be doing in your journey. See, Paul can be a pretty good guy. Can really, sure, he says in there, women shouldn't talk in church. But, you know, that was, I understood from the phone calls I get, because earlier in Galatians, he says flat out, there's no more male nor female, slave nor free, Jew nor Greek. He was selling out his own radicalness, but he was trying to answer a question. There were some women making trouble in Corinth, so he took an easy way out. But, you know, that's part of that arguing with the Bible and saying, oh, Paul. And that's part of how you can learn to love it, is by getting that kind of knowledge that you can be in conversation with it and see it as a human creation and yet see God there not in spite of it being a human creation, but because of the struggle those people were doing. And be inspired then to do the same thing yourselves, to figure out what is right for me to do in this situation? What's a sin? Don't worry about what's right for your neighbor to do. Worry about what's right for you. And be inspired by the Bible. Be open to the Holy Spirit. But do that work yourself. And give your life to love and to God. Amen.